This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49, Thursday, the 10th of March, and of course you're listening to The Morning Run. We now shift our attention to the 5G saga, which continues to grab domestic business headlines. As the Star newspaper reported yesterday, that the government is considering a U-turn over its proposed single wholesale network, SWN model, ahead of a key cabinet decision tomorrow.
Sources told the Daily Paper that the government is likely to greenlight the implementation of the 5G dual wholesale network model, but mobile network operators would be first offered the option to acquire direct stakes in 5G network by Digital Nasional Berhad. If this dual wholesale network model does take off, it would effectively mean that there will be another 5G wholesale provider via a consortium of privately owned MNOs that would build its own infrastructure without the government's involvement.
As we wait for clarity from the government on the much-delayed 5G rollout program, we ask whether this U-turn will help Malaysia play catch-up in its rollout and whether consumers ultimately stand to benefit from these proposed changes.
So for more on this, we speak to Alexander Wong, Managing Editor at the tech news portal Soya Chinchau, which has been closely following this story. Good morning, Alex. Now, the government might lean towards this dual wholesale network model instead of a single wholesale network model in terms of 5G implementation. Can you just help us understand what's the benefit of going dual wholesale instead?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Well, firstly, I think having a dual wholesale network is a few advantages. First of all, is it will address the concerns of a single point of failure. If the telcos are able to roll out a second network, that will serve as a redundancy to build a more resilient 5G network for Malaysia. And also, having a dual wholesale network means that there'll be more competition in terms of deployment, which will address concerns of monopoly. And also, by having two wholesale networks, the telcos will be more motivated and to be incentivized to speed up the 5G deployment. And also, lastly, from what I understand, is that telcos have been ready to roll out 5G for years. In the past few years, we've seen them shouting out loud that they're waiting to roll out 5G. All they need is a spectrum. And most recently, they've made significant upgrades to the network, including having more fiberized towers. So they are now in a better position to deploy 5G.
So you seem supportive of this idea. How does it translate into a more cheaper and efficient 5G connection for Malaysians?
Well, as we all know, healthy competition can help drive prices down. And Malaysia has a vibrant telco scene where we have 6 telcos right now. And I think previously at one point, we have 10 telcos. In the past few years, the telcos have been gearing up their network. And recently, the 4 big telcos have issued a statement to say that the telcos have been collaborating all this while and it isn't new. And the recent achievement in hitting the Jendela's 4G targets is proof that they are ready to work together to deploy 5G faster with their own existing infrastructure. And also another thing to point out is that the telcos have a wider scope of services, which will help to increase cost efficiency because they still have 4G services.
And were there any drawbacks to this? And what would this mean for DNB?
I think the biggest drawback is that if the telcos are allowed to develop a second network, this might be a huge blow to DNB, which claims to be operating on a cost recovery model. The CEO, Ralph Marshall, has recently said that DNB, in its current form as a single wholesale network, will unlikely to survive. And he said that if it fails, there'll be financial, legal, and reputational implications to the country. And even at the moment, we've seen that they have yet to secure any wholesale agreements with the big telcos. Right now, they're giving free access to YTL Communications and Telecom Malaysia, but only YES is having active 5G services.
I'm just curious, Alex, do we know what the government is proposing? Sounds like a compromise, does it? Because they're offering telco equal stakes in DNB now that's the source story, instead of establishing a second wholesale network on their own. Do you see the telcos going for this?
Well, I can see that the government is trying to explore this option because right now it seems to be like a 5G stalemate since none of the big 4 telcos are actually going on board with DNB. At this point, I don't see how DNB offering a stake to telcos would solve the stalemate issue. Mm. At the moment, DNB has already signed over hundreds of contracts and they've already appointed Ericsson, who is really working halfway to deploy the network. And for me, if the telcos wants to get involved, they need to have like a say in the management.
Okay, and let's take a little step back. You say YES has implemented 5G in Malaysia. Do we know what the take-up rate has been like and what's the quality of the service?
I don't have the actual numbers of the rollout, but it's still fairly new right now because 5G has been deployed in less than 3 months commercially. So the network coverage is still quite spotty at the moment. So it isn't as ready as what you expect from a 4G network.
You know, Alex, I'm thinking out loud, right? Isn't that compromise where the MNOs take a stake in DNB actually the worst outcome for all consumers? Because you don't have the efficiency and signal network, but perhaps even the MNOs can benefit from the ROI from the wholesale network?
Yeah, definitely true. Because eventually the MNOs, they won't have a full control of the network, because that will actually help them to build products and services based on what the consumers needs. And right now, DNB, they don't have direct access to consumers. So whatever investments made with in terms of the network, the question is, are they doing based on what the needs and demands of the users and the industry?
Okay, there's also a suggestion, right, by DNB. This has come out in previous interviews with Ralph Marshall, where DNB would reduce their stake gradually over time in over 3 years. And perhaps maybe MNOs then become shareholders. Do you think this is another compromise?
Well, ultimately, for telcos, I would see that if they want to operate a network that's been built based on the demands and needs of the network, and also based on what they plan for their own investments. But if they say DNB has made a call in the upfront, I don't see how is this appealing to the telcos, because telcos have their own approach, which may be different from DNB.
And is there another alternative option outside of a dual or single wholesale network model? What do the other countries in the region actually do?
Well, in other countries, like we've seen in Singapore and Thailand, most of them have gone with the auction route, which has helped to raise billions of dollars for the government. Now, this approach can be a very expensive exercise, and the upfront costs might be ultimately passed down to consumers. Of course, there's also the second option, which is what Malaysia has been doing for decades, which is to give out spectrum to a beauty contest, where telcos are allocated a spectrum and they pay a fixed fee upfront and an annual fee after that.
Alex, can you help me understand? If the MNOs have their own separate wholesale network, isn't then the DNB network dead on water? And if that is dead on water, won't we have to pay compensation to all the current equipment vendors like Ericsson? And what is the bill to the taxpayers if we have to do that?
Well, I mean, I will see there's still potential of having DNB, because like they have been mentioning that one of their missions is to bridge a digital divide. One option is to perhaps maybe focus in certain areas where connectivity is still lacking right now. Because right now, as we all know, 4G coverage is still lacking in certain rural areas. So that's one area they can be strong in. Because I believe if DNB makes the investments in covering those areas, I'm sure most telcos will jump on board to use their services to provide 5G for the non-urban areas.
Does it make sense that, you know, the one wholesale network manages the more commercial areas and another wholesale network manages the rural services?
Yeah, that's right. Because that example works in other countries, whereby they have like a single wholesale network in rural areas where it's not financially viable, and other telcos will tap onto the same network.
Okay, Alex, one last question for me. All this ding-donging, right, where we don't have a certain 5G rollout plan, how delayed will our services be, and how far away are we, or how, you know, the difference between us and our regional peers in terms of our 5G rollout plans?
Honestly, very delayed, because at one point, we're supposed to be at the forefront in 5G rollout in Malaysia. Previously, we were targeting to roll out in Q3 2020. And because of the current administration change, everything was put on hold. And one good example would be in terms of the average speeds. About 2 years ago, Malaysia was having a higher average speed compared to countries like Thailand, Indonesia, and the Philippines. But now today, because of other countries being rolled out 5G, our average is actually lower than those countries. We're actually far behind in terms of the mobile average experience.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Alexander Wong, Managing Editor at the tech news portal Soya Chin Chow, saying that we're far, far, far behind because of all this ding-donging.
Can catch up, I think. I mean, look at our vaccination rate. We also caught up, ma.
I'm not so sure it's as easy as this when it comes to telco assets,
I think it's
right?
Not. It is not that easy because it's huge CapEx investments involved.
That's right. And if we were to roll back right now and go into a different wholesale network model, the kind of money that we have to spend to compensate the contracts and also Ericsson, and not to forget, you have to also
allegedly compensate, because let's face it, this story is a source story. It's not confirmed that the government is going to definitely rewind. We don't really know that. We'll only know it later. But just based on, you know, what we read in the papers, if there's a possibility, yeah.
It
correct.
Is.
And if for you to build a second 5G network, it will cost an extra $7 billion. We don't know whether that's the real number.
I think the cabinet meeting on this Friday will be very important then to make calls on that.
Yeah, because so many ministries are involved, right? There's the Ministry of Telco Communications, there's the Ministry of Finance. I'm sure MeitY is also involved. There's probably been feedback from industry in terms of what they prefer, whether they want a single network or a double network. But we'll be following this story very, very closely. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.